Stay up to date on the green and gold all season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee. The opponents are locked in. The locations are set. Tonight, we find out what the NFL season calendar looks like. This is the NFL Schedule Release Special. Alongside Gabe Neitzel and Josh DiMaggio, here's Alex Stroh.
Yeah, Josh DiMaggio is here, baby.
Hell yeah, boys.
NFL Schedule Release Special right here on ESPN Wisconsin alongside Gabe Neitzel. How do you say it? DiMaggio?
DiMaggio.
Why did nobody DiMaggio. Tell him how to say it? Josh DiMaggio with me. I'm Alex Stroh with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Fellas, we think we know it. We'll know for sure if we know it in about an hour when the NFL officially comes out with the schedule. But the mayor of Green Bay, the unofficial mayor of Green Bay, Kyle Cousineau, every year ahead of this. So he released the full schedule a couple of hours ago. We then saw from multiple sources, including Jason Wilde, who will join us later in the show, confirming all of the home dates. So then you just got to slot in the other seven road games that have yet to be announced. I'm fired up about the schedule.
You're fired up about the schedule. You're ready to go. This is actually a pretty good schedule. There's no real oddities in terms of long road trips. Like, I think of 2 years ago when they spent so much time away from Lambeau Field because they had to go to London, and technically that was a home game, and then they're bouncing all over the place. You know, they only have one stretch of back-to-back road games. It's at the end of the season. That's it, according to the schedule from Kyle Cousineau.
And that stretch is San Francisco, Miami, Thanksgiving, at Detroit on Thursday night, at Seattle on Sunday night, and then versus at home against New Orleans Monday Night Football. That's a primetime fix.
Four straight prime time, and the only primetime games on the schedule.
Yeah.
That's as absurd. Of right now.
Now, does week one count as a primetime game? Because it's standalone on a Friday night?
I guess that would technically also be a primetime game.
That's probably how they're getting around not fully maxing out the six primetime games by having games. And I mean, they're hoping Minnesota or Chicago in 17-18 are games that they can flex into a primetime position.
Oh, I mean, yeah. If you could flex Packers-Bears, because the Bears are actually good.
Because it matters.
That's a NBC dream.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be, right?
The Bears?
No. They were 7-10 last year.
On paper, the Bears are supposed to be good, yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, that franchise is one that I don't know if they have the right leadership in place. I honestly do not. And if that's not right, even if that roster turns out to be as good as it looks like it is, and that defense was spectacular in the second half. I mean, if we want to tout how good Jordan Love was in the second half last year and think that that's going to lead to future success, I understand why Bears fans would think that about their defense, because their defense post-trade was one of the top five defenses in the league. Now, can Caleb Williams step in and do anything close to what C.J. Stroud was able to do a year ago? That's what it kind of comes down to for the Chicago Bears.
It's a good comparison.
That game seems to fit perfectly into a keep-out game for the Packers against the Bears, be it a wild card position, something along those lines. That's what you would imagine, because it's going to take Caleb Williams a bit to get going here. I don't know Chicago's schedule yet, but that seems like a perfect, they're on the verge of a playoff berth, and the Packers have the opportunity to keep them from the playoffs, which would be the biggest game of the week, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Let's run through it, just one by one real quick. So let's start with the obvious. We knew this one for weeks. Week one, Packers at Philadelphia. Technically, that game will be played in Sao Paulo.
Yeah,
correct.
That's a win.
Why did you say that like Forrest Gump?
Because he didn't know how to say Sao Paulo, but he heard me say it earlier today, so he's trying to imitate it. Yeah. I joined Mr. Irrelevant.
You made it. Said it. You made it 4 minutes without making fun of me. Four minutes, Josh.
I wasn't bullying you. I was just picking on you. Yeah. There's a difference.
There's a very fine line.
I just want to point out, Gabe, I don't know if you saw this, and anybody listening or watching on YouTube at ESPN Madison, at ESPN Milwaukee, Josh tweeted out the five-word phrase, "I will not bully Stroh," 12 times when promoting this show tonight. That's all his tweet said.
It's a promise I
will not fully stroke. It like, took you 4 minutes.
Like Homer, like Bart Simpson on the board? That was me. Yeah. I was trying my best.
Okay, so game one, Packers of Philadelphia. We've spent plenty of time on that game over the course of the last few weeks. Week two, the home opener for the Packers, the Indianapolis Colts. You get Jordan Love, Anthony Richardson in week number two. It's kind of an interesting matchup, two young quarterbacks.
The Colts were still a pretty good team last year, and even though they were without Richardson for most of the season, they were relevant late in the season, had that big game against the Texans in week 18 to determine who was going to go to the playoffs for the AFC South, and that is a roster that is good. And if Anthony Richardson can return from his injury and look anything like he did in the first four or five games, like that could be, I mean, that's a good team. That is a roster that is solid. If that quarterback play turns into pretty good, like that could be a pretty good young quarterback matchup in week number two.
That game's not a layup like it was last year. There's no backup.
Here's the thing about the schedule.
I don't know if there's any.
There's not a lot.
Yeah, there ain't. Tennessee, I would call it.
And that's week three. They're at Tennessee.
Yes. But
I'm gonna drop that one in.
But on the road, you never know, right?
Who's like, their quarterback? Will Levis?
Will Levis is their quarterback.
Yeah.
I like Will Levis.
No more Derrick Henry.
Showed flashes last year. Yeah, they're
no more Vrabes.
Yeah, they decided to fire their coach.
Who's the right coach?
That's a good question. The fact that it doesn't jump into our heads quick is probably an indication.
I can't name any of their skill position players, I don't think.
Oh, they have DeAndre Hopkins and
still?
Traylon Burks.
They do have
Brian Callahan.
Not very good.
Brian Callahan. I don't know. That is the most average white name I've ever heard in my entire life. All right, week three is at Tennessee. And I think Josh's point is right. That's probably the easiest layup on that schedule. Week four.
I looked at over-unders earlier today, and the Titans, 6.5.
That's got to be the lowest.
Which is tied for the lowest total of any team.
Is it with the Vikings?
With the Vikings and the Cardinals. But they also have the longest odds of any team to make the playoffs. If you want to bet on the Titans to make the playoffs, it is plus 500. You would win a $500. You put down 100 for them to make the playoffs.
So does that mean they're the favorite to have the number one overall pick next year?
Maybe.
If they are the longest odds to make the playoffs.
The longest odds on the Packers schedule. Yeah. I should have clarified.
Gotcha. Week four? Also the lowest odds in the Packers' schedule. They return home to take on Minnesota. So just to recap, the first four games at Philadelphia and Sao Paulo, Brazil. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Week two returning, or rather opening, their home schedule against the Indianapolis Colts. Week three is at the Tennessee Titans. Week four returning back to Lambeau for their first divisional game of the season, all the way in week four against the Minnesota Vikings. And will it be Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy? We will wait and see.
It's got to be J.J. McCarthy
you think?
By that point. Have you seen Sam Darnold play football?
Yeah, but like...
The answer is no, you haven't recently, and there's a reason for that.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
League circles are high on him, though, Gabe.
They always are. There's always There's always one backup who...
Well, they're not high on Josh Rosen anymore, I'll say that much.
No. I mean, people were getting excited about Sam Darnold this time last year in San Francisco. Like, oh, man. Look out.
He can really fill the role there, and Brock Purdy's
Sam
missing.
Sam Darnold, maybe he's the guy. Maybe he can unseat Brock Purdy. Yeah. Guess what he didn't do and come close to doing.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the video circulating last week of J.J. McCarthy throwing to a coach that was like standing away game?
I did.
He threw to his left side, and he missed him.
He's got the Trubisky disease. He can't throw left.
Yeah, no, he's the Zoolander of NFL quarterbacks.
They might win four games. Week five, interesting one. Josh, you and I talked about this earlier today, Mr. Mm-hmm. Relevant. Week five is Packers at the Rams, McVay, LaFleur.
Yeah, that game to me is intriguing because that's like probably the first real test, other than week one, where you're looking at an offense and going, is the Packers defense going to be up to the measure against an offensive mastermind, probably the best offensive play caller in the NFL altogether, and then a lot of skill players. You got Puka, Cooper Kupp, Kyron Williams, they invested in a rookie at the running back position. That will be interesting to see how Jeff Hafley stacks up. And is it scheme or is it the guys just aren't ready? The defense isn't clicking.
Matthew Stafford has to be healthy for that, and that's always a question for the Rams at this point in his career.
It's early,
it
though.
It is, which is unfortunate. But yeah, it's early. It's week five.
Of
October.
You never know with Matthew Stafford. If he's healthy, that is sit on the couch, and I am terrified every time the Rams have the ball.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Week six opens the first of two in the Packers' schedule, back-to-back home slates. Week six, they host the Arizona Cardinals. Layup.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's a layup on the schedule, I'd pick Arizona over Tennessee.
Really?
I don't believe in Kyler Murray whatsoever, and I don't think the Cardinals do either, Dave.
See, but do you believe in Kyler Murray more than you believe in
Will Levis?
Will Levis?
Sophie's choice, bro.
Kyler Murray, being as athletic as he is, he had some decent enough games a year ago. They're trying to rebuild that wide receiver room.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
I don't think that is as big of a layup as we want it to be. I mean, do I expect the Packers to win that? Do I expect them to be favored by around a touchdown? I do.
I mean, these are the games you have to win.
Yes, 100%.
Go ahead.
Without a doubt.
Pre-bye week, week 7 is my favorite game on the schedule. That is C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans coming to Lambeau Field, taking on Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. I joke when I say this, but only a little bit. It's the Super Bowl preview.
Another offense that should test the Packers.
Uh-huh.
Tank Dell, C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz. Like, that's a really good.
Joe Mixon?
Yeah, I have not. That is going to be an offense that is going to be locked and ready to go.
Yeah, they can score in bunches, and they have a defense that you would figure is getting better and better. They were in the playoffs, so this is
what a playoff game.
Yeah, this is the measuring stick. This is the game everyone's going to look at and compare. How does Jordan Love look versus C.J. Stroud? How does the offense look in terms of firepower? And is the defense better? Is it worse? How do they match up? Because this is, I think, pretty much as long as both these guys are with their respective teams, being Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud, they're going to be compared year in and year out, and it's going to be who has MVPs, who has, you know, the deepest runs in the playoffs. It's going to be just a consistent measuring bar for the Packers.
I love the Houston Texans offense. And if there's anything that's similar to the Packers offense in the AFC, it's the Houston Texans. Young quarterback, young receivers, proven running back. Yeah.
They might be better at every position, though.
The thing is, their weapons aren't
a running back.
Their weapons aren't as deep.
Okay, I would agree with that.
Yeah, Joe Mixon's on the back end there of his career. They don't have as many as the Packers, but
they're top two.
Nico Collins looked very good, and Tank Dell was seemingly like a rising star.
Yeah. Well, same thing with Nico. Like, Nico had an unbelievable year ago. He was kind of growing there, and they just didn't have a quarterback to get him the football. Then they did, and he just exploded onto the scene last year. Like, if you're drafting, if you take the Packers top four and the Texans top four, the first two picks are Houston Texans receivers.
Oh, hey, and they added Stephon Diggs.
The top three.
I completely forgot about
Stephon Diggs. Oh, man, is that a terrifying offense to play.
Isn't that a fun game?
No, that is not fun.
Oh, well, okay, hold on a minute. That's week 7, which is likely, the week before Halloween game?
Sure.
It's May 15th. Dude, calm down a little bit. That's 5.5 months from now.
Not going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
I'm excited for Jair and Stephon Diggs.
And I was just about to say, right?
Jair's not even going on Stephon.
You get that
if
rivalry.
If he's following someone, it's Nico.
Yes, he is. It's Stephon Diggs. That rivalry is renewed.
Yeah.
But if you want him to follow someone, would you want him to be Nico?
Three.
What? I don't know. The rivalry is important. It's whoever.
I disagree.
It's whoever views it. Whoever Jair views as the most important. He's talked about how much he's wanted to face the best receiver as much as possible. That's his thing.
As long as Jeff Hafley allows him to do that, because Joe Barry sometimes did not.
Most of the time did not.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think if you want to keep Jair happy and a part of the team, you're going to give him those shots.
Gabe, before we get to break, and we'll continue to run through the Packers' schedule, we're through the first 7 games. We'll look at the rest of the schedule coming up next. Jeff Hafley's defense.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly do you want to see a true identity out of them? Because you have some tough offenses early, but you do have that week 2, 3, 4 stretch, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Minnesota, where the offenses aren't all that great. Indy's the best one of the three, but by the end of that first 4-game stretch, do you really want to know?
I don't think we're going to know through the first 4-game stretch. And I don't think that's a problem, because you want them to figure it out. You want them certainly to have an identity by late in the season. But if you get to the bye, if you get through Jacksonville and Detroit the next 2 games before you get to the bye, and you still don't quite have that identity, but you're starting to see some things form and start to come together, I think that's what you want to see. Like, you want to see them kind of progressing. You want to see some of the things that have just pissed us off as Packers fans over the last, it's 3rd and 4 and the corners are 8 yards off. Hey, let's not do that anymore. Like, I honestly just want those little things kind of early
cleaned up,
and then as the season progresses, kind of see what the identity is, try to see if somebody like Quay Walker is going to be a better fit in this defense than he was with Joe Barry.
There's a real potential here that coming out of week 3 and 4, the Packers' defenses look just completely overwhelming. They look like, oh my gosh, this is a top 5 defense, and then you face the Los Angeles Rams and come back to earth, and you kind of have to reevaluate. Which version are they? Are they the version that looked like they were going to hold teams to under, you know, 20 points every week out? Or are they the team that gave up some big plays against good offense?
Yeah, let's not do the Aaron Rodgers, oh yeah, now we have a defense thing after week one.
Right.
Like, that didn't really work out at the end of that season.
You know what I'll be saying if they beat Philly 24-10?
Elite. Super Bowl.
Oh, we got a defense?
We got a top 3 defense in the league. Watch out! Watch out!
Gabe Neitzel, Josh DiMaggio, Alex Strope with you here on ESPN Wisconsin. We're taking a look at the unofficial 2024 Packers schedule with you tonight until 8 o'clock. We'll actually know if Kyle Cousineau on Twitter, at KCousineau09, is correct. He's been correct in the past, so we're trusting him. We will continue to dive into each of those matchups, when they are, where they are, as we roll on next. This is the, what are we calling this? The NFL schedule release special?
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 indeed.
Nailed it.
Right here on ESPN Wisconsin. More next. ESPN Wisconsin's NFL schedule release special with you alongside Gabe Neitzel, Josh DiMaggio. I'm Alex Strofe on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN in Madison. We're making our way through the unofficial 2024 Green Bay Packers schedule. So far, we have talked week one, and this one we know is official, at Philadelphia. We also know week two is official, home game. Home opener in week two against the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson, Jordan Love. There's some juice to that game, in my opinion. Week three, this one's unofficial, at the Tennessee Titans. Week four, they return to Lambeau to host their first divisional game, play their first divisional game of the season against the Minnesota Vikings. Gabe says, without a doubt, it will be J.J. McCarthy, a quarterback for the Vikings.
Yeah. You want to know why? Because I haven't seen Sam Darnold play. Have not seen him play recently.
I think he's going to be the starter for them.
All year?
If he's
by week four, yeah.
Okay, if so Sam Darnold is starting week four, you think that's less of a layup than the Cardinals?
Yes.
If Sam Darnold's starting at quarterback, the Packers are going to be favored by double digits.
We just gushed over the Texans' offense. The Vikings' offense isn't that far off. They have T.J. Hawkinson, who may not be healthy at that point.
Quarterback.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, fantastic.
Jordan Addison.
Yeah, he's very good.
Aaron Jones.
Yeah, pretty good.
Uh-huh.
You know what you need to make all those people happy?
QB.
Quarterback that can throw you the football.
Pill slings.
I didn't like that noise.
I wish I could have whistled it. didn't have the hit in me that time.
Yeah, that's all right.
You win some, you lose some.
Right. Week five, the Packers unofficially will visit the Los Angeles Rams. McVay versus LaFleur. Week 6 and 7, both home games. They will host the Arizona Cardinals in week 6. They will host the Houston Texans in week number 7. That's where we've left off. Let's go to week 8. A couple of quarterbacks looking to get paid. Jordan Love and the Packers visit the Jacksonville Jaguars. Quarterback Trevor Lawrence. I don't know how I feel about that one. I don't know what to make of the Jaguars.
Yeah. I think the jury's still out on Trevor Lawrence.
I tend to agree.
They're a fine team. They're decent. They seem to be heading in the right direction. I think it's not. I'm not as afraid of them as, say, the Texans or the Rams, but that's a game on the road.
Yep,
could be warm at that time in Jacksonville. So
could
that
be. Isn't it always warm in Jacksonville? It's in Florida.
Yeah, but it's week 8. It's starting to get cooler. It's not.
Somebody call Brad Nortman. How cool does it get in Jacksonville?
I mean, it's not going to be in the 90s, I think, is Josh's point.
Right. Like, the Miami and Jacksonville always have the distinct advantage early in the season. They love home games for that reason because the opponents just aren't ready for that level of heat.
Going to get dehydrated quickly.
Yeah.
Quickly. When it comes to Jacksonville, I do think they're interesting. And if you are someone who is not 100% sold on Jordan Love, like that's what happened with Trevor Lawrence last year is a distinct possibility. Because what he did and the Jaguars did the week or the year before, very similar to what the Packers did. Kind of got hot in the second half of the season, started playing really well. Now, the Packers dominated their playoff game where they made a pretty big comeback in the playoff game that they won, but also won a playoff game a year ago. And then he just didn't really... I was expecting Trevor Lawrence, after what he did in the second half of 2022, okay, here he goes in 2023. He's going to take that step forward. He really didn't. Kind of idled and just kind of stayed where he was. And that is, you know, again, if you're not somebody who's sold on Jordan Love, that is a distinct possibility. And what happened to them, with they ended up being a 9-8 team who just missed out on the playoffs in the AFC.
They're viewed as basically just a tier below the Packers. Like, for the season-long win totals, they're 8.5, Packers are 9.5. They are just slightly behind the Packers. So that's going to be what you would presume a competitive game if all things shake out the way we are looking at the schedule now. That game should be competitive, close game.
But didn't you hear me say the Packers have a top three defense in the league?
Wait, they've already won that game 28-10? They've already beaten the Eagles.
Yeah, okay. And at this point in the schedule, they are 6-1.
Okay, all right.
Who'd they lose to?
I'm guessing the Rams.
That is correct.
Okay.
Wow. Look at you.
You were doing a schedule game and you didn't even include us?
We'll do that later. That's for the 7 o'clock hour when we get real loopy. When you guys are, what, 11 hours or 12 hours away from being back on the air with Jen Gabe and Chewy on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee? Yeah, that's when we'll play the schedule game. Don't you worry. Week 9, second divisional game, second home divisional game, the Detroit Lions.
This kicks off a crazy back part of the schedule for the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm. It's insane.
The back part is just... it is... There aren't... It's not for the weak of heart. That's for sure.
For anybody that has your pen or paper out trying to follow the schedule, I'm going to rapid fire the next couple of games, so get ready to write. Joshy, though, Detroit before the bye, which is week 10, at home, could be a... essentially middle of the season indication of who's in first place of the NFC North. That could be a game with a lot of implications going forward.
Yeah, another measuring stick game. It's the first time we are going to see Detroit. You want the Packers to be competitive in it. How does Detroit look at that point? Have they carried over their end of the season last year? And how do the Packers look in comparison? You would figure going into this, the Packers and Lions would be 1-2 in the division. If all things shake out the way we expect, this game could matter a whole lot, and you have to win your divisional games at home, because on the road, no matter who it is, unless you're playing the Bears of the past, those games can be a coin toss.
Week 9 last year was the Rams. That's when the ship started to be righted. They won 4 of their next 5
games. The Rippin game.
That was the Brett Rippin game. That was week 9 of last year. They were 3-5 after week 9 because they had an early bye. Imagine it'll look a little bit different this year with how the front half of the schedule shakes out.
And I think the bye following week 10 is really good. I like having the bye at that point. You know, you don't have that Thursday night game early, so you don't have the mini bye to kind of help you out. So it's 9 straight weeks of games on weekends, and that is a bit of a tough stretch. But again, a week 10 bye, I think if you're the Packers and you're a good team, you'd rather have that bye later than early.
I don't have the literature here in front of me, but
literature?
Yes, there has been studies that teams benefit from buys later in the season than earlier in the season because you are given that extra week to rehab some of those injuries. Now, I don't know how that shakes out when you go through a stretch of Thanksgiving, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. I don't know how that ends up looking when you follow that all up here future in the schedule, but you always want your bye week pretty much as late as possible.
Week 9, at home against Detroit. Week 10 is a bye. Week 11, you go to Chicago. That will be the Packers' first look at the number 1 overall pick, Caleb Williams. It is a game that I anticipate will be closer than we expect on May 15th. That is a team who I think is going to be better than a lot of us think on May 15th.
It didn't feel like it, but they only won that game 17-10 in week 18. Right, it was a one-score game.
17-9, yeah.
17-9.
Still a one-score game.
Yeah, still a one-score game. Like, as good as the Packers' offense was late in the season, that defense still held them to under 20 points.
And they were missing a lot of key pieces defensively.
So it's the defense, they've gotten that figured out, I think, down in Chicago. It's whether or not Caleb Williams and that offense are humming. And I don't know if you've heard, they've already named him the starter. I mean, I don't know who else was going to start for them, but...
How crazy was that? Like, I understand he was asked the question.
Sure.
Head coach Matt Eberflus. But to just say, yeah, no competition.
Yeah,
I mean, like, we know, and then everybody made a big deal about it.
Yeah, I don't know why everybody made a big deal out of it, because you drafted him number 1 overall. You don't have a quarter. You traded away your previous starter. Clearly, you didn't have another starter on your roster.
Brad Nortman and Kyle Wallace, Kyle Brest and Nortman, weekdays from 2 to 5 on ESPN Wisconsin, the show I produce, they both were very angry that they did that. that he's taking first team reps, and I just thought they sounded like the biggest idiots, and one of them played a successful career in the NFL.
I think obviously he's going to get first team reps, but to come out and say it with a locker room full of veterans who are going to be looking at Caleb Williams with the side eye until he goes out there and prove it, to say it's your job, this is your team right out the gate, I think can send a message to the guys on the team like, well, this is it, that we're riding everything on Caleb Williams. And they are. But
do you know who the other quarterbacks on the roster are?
Doesn't matter to me. I think.
I mean, it should if we're having this conversation.
No,
because if you get
because that's not the point, Gabe. Yeah, the point is he has to earn it with a room full of veterans and a team that has been bad for years and done things the wrong way. You would imagine.
Nah.
We'll see.
No,
we'll
you're
see.
The number one overall pick for a reason.
Yeah, that's great.
You don't have, you don't earn it when you're the number one overall pick.
I think Andrew Luck was taking second team reps.
I'm sure that's how it works. Like, you just go in and you take multiple reps with different guys when you're young. Oh, it's not as crazy as you guys are saying.
You think DJ Moore is going to be really thrilled when Brett Rippon's throwing him footballs?
Is he a Bear now?
Yes. Sure.
Yes, he is.
Tyson Bagent on that team as
well? Tyson Bagent is also on
is
that team.
Is he still?
Yeah.
Kept him?
Huh. Those are the quarterbacks that he's competing with in your little fantasy world over there.
Yeah, it's just the message sending is... You're ride and die. He doesn't have to earn anything. It's his job. He doesn't have to come here and impress
anyone.
What are you
going to do next? Blame Generation Z for the downfall of America? Is that your
no!
next take?
I think we...
How
I
many
think,
number one overall picks were handed
I
the
think,
number one job?
I think we as...
Zero.
I think we as fans underestimate
Bryce
how
Young
things...
Bryce Young was handed the job.
I think we underestimate how things in locker rooms matter and how messaging matters. We see all the time when... Tausch says it all the time on Wildy and Tausch. When the players are saying the same thing as the coaches, that's the good part. They have to message. Messaging doesn't matter at your 9-to-5 job as much as it does in a locker room filled with testosterone, guys going to battle.
You think DJ Moore's like, yeah, we just drafted Caleb Williams number one overall. I really want to see him compete against Tyson Bagent, though.
I
need a competition in that room.
You don't even have to have a legitimate competition. That's the point I'm making. The point is that no matter the situation, you earn your right to be the starting quarterback in the NFL. That's my point. Everyone knows going into it, yeah, it's Caleb Williams. He's the guy.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, the players are smart. We hear Chewy talk about that all the time. Players know who can play and who can't. And who can't.
Yes.
You know who can't play?
Tyson Bagent.
You know who can't play?
Brett Rippon.
Do we know Caleb Williams can play yet? Because he hasn't taken a snap.
I guarantee you.
He hadn't taken
a
snap.
Guarantee you. Guarantee
you. Oh, you're going to tell me he's better than Brett Rippon?
Yeah.
You're going out on the limb.
Going out on the limb.
Going out on the limb, everyone, today.
Like, so I don't even understand what we're talking about.
First 10 weeks of the Packers' schedule look like this, unofficially, officially, unofficially, officially. At Philadelphia, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, in week one. They return to Lambeau. In week two for their home opener against the Indianapolis Colts. Week three, they head to Tennessee. Week four, they host Minnesota. Week five, they go to the Rams. Sean McVay versus Matt LaFleur. Back-to-back home games, week 6 and 7. Arizona in 6. Houston in 7. They go to Jacksonville in week 8. The Jaguars and the Packers. Week 8 in Jacksonville. Week number 9, the Packers host the Detroit Lions. Week 10 is the bye. Week 11, they go to Chicago. The next 5 games on the slate, oh my goodness. We'll tell you what those are. Coming up next, Gabe Neitzel, Josh DiMaggio, Alex Strofe with you here on the ESPN Wisconsin NFL Schedule Release Special. ESPN Wisconsin's NFL Schedule Release Special. Tongue twister. I'm Alex Strofe alongside the host of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and 800 other programs, Gabe Neitzel, and the producer of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, if you were to do math on all the
Your
shows
Josh DiMaggio,
you've hosted, yeah, let's get through it, let's get to the point, let's cut to the chase. All the shows you've hosted that have been like Good Karma Brand centric, adding in also play by play, is it over 50 in your time here? Because you've been here since you were 12 years old. So, in terms of, because like you've hosted pretty much in a fill in portion every
sure.
single show. There's also sure. been shows that went by the wayside that you were on that mm-hmm. you moved to. There's
went
all
by the wayside. That was kind of a brutal way to say.
Well, I mean, some people just
Madison's
don't...
baseball tonight.
Yeah, some some people don't work here anymore. Like, there's names of people that are not employed by us, so it went by the wayside.
I doubt it's 50. I could probably come up with a list and get back to you.
I don't want you to do it today because we got more things at hand, but I'd like a list of the amount of shows you've ever hosted.
All right. Can do.
Thank you.
Thanks for that, Josh. That was really good stuff.
As we see it right now, Packers unofficial schedule. At Philadelphia, home against the Colts. At the Titans, home against the Vikings. At the Rams, home against the Cardinals. Home against the Texans in Week 7. At the Jags in Week 8. Home against the Lions in Week 9. The bye right in the middle, Week 10. Week 11, they go to Chicago. If you're writing this down, get your pens ready, because I'm going to fly through the stretch and then we're going to talk about it overall. This five-game stretch will make or break the Packers season. Week 12, they host the 49ers. Week 13, on a short week, Thursday night, they host the Miami Dolphins.
That is Thanksgiving. Yeah, so that'll be the Thursday night game, because obviously Detroit's early and Dallas is midday. Midday.
Packers, Dolphins, nightcap, Thanksgiving at Lambeau Field. Week 14, a full week later, they get a full week. They play Thursday night at Detroit, their second meeting with the Lions in 5 weeks. Week 15, they get a mini bye. They go to Seattle, Sunday night football. And then week 16, they return home to host the New Orleans Saints with 8 days rest on Monday night football. That is weeks 12 through 16. That is an insane five-game stretch.
I am, first and foremost, I am shocked that they avoided a Christmas Day game. I thought for sure, especially once the announcement came out today, that Netflix was indeed going to be the carrier for the two Christmas Day games on Wednesday, December 25th this year. I figured that, okay, you're putting a game on there, Christmas Day, who do we get on there that we know nationwide people are going to care and people are going to go to Netflix? Green Bay Packers.
They did all right with those games, though. All AFC teams. Chiefs at Steelers is the early one. Ravens at Texans is the late one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans are the one that kind of make you think twice, but as we talked about earlier, they're a team that everybody's looking at similar to the Packers. The Packers just have the legacy, so Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens are all teams you look at and go, yeah, I see the draw.
Oh, yeah, and then, again, but even with the Texans, then, yes. I mean, that could be a potential, like, playoff preview type thing if the Texans are as good as they were a year ago.
They got good games, even though Chiefs, Steelers, who knows what that will end up looking like.
By the way, that Week 16 game against New Orleans, that's on Monday Night Football?
Mm-hmm.
That's December 23rd.
Correct.
What a way to kick off the holiday week. Now?
Monday night demolishing of the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, and then
Merry Christmas to Alex Strofe.
You wake up and Santa's there.
Well, no, you wake up and it's Christmas Eve.
Did you guys have divorced parents growing up?
No. Did not.
Santa came both days, different houses. Yeah, one house of the 24.
Santa does have to get it. He's got a lot of houses.
He's got a lot of houses to get. So
some houses do get Santa a day early.
Yeah, all my childhood. Thank you very much. Anyway, so
it hasn't stuck with you, I can see.
What's that?
Nothing.
Santa twice a year.
Just week 17. Then they have the Minnesota Vikings. Week 17 on the road. Then they wrap up week 18 with the Chicago Bears.
That game's getting flexed. Week 18. That'll be the Sunday night game.
Packers
will be in as the divisional winner.
At the very least, that's a 3:25 game.
Yeah. The Sunday night game. Bears win and they're in. Packers have already solidified the division, but they could solidify the bye.
Yeah. I mean,
they're very optimistic for the next 3 months.
The NFL's done a really good job in recent years of making most every of these games matter in the week 17 and week 18. There is a scenario that either both teams are already in the playoffs because it's not unheard of for a wild card team to clinch before week 18, or one of them's completely not in the running. I would hope it would be the Bears in this scenario, but I have hard time seeing the Bears with what we saw at the end of the season, the additions to the team being completely out of the mix for the playoffs at that point.
They were 7-10 team a year ago, and obviously last year's success does not indicate success the following year, but they are a very intriguing team to me this year with the addition of Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, etc. Obviously a full season with Montez Sweat on the defensive side. Very intriguing team to me. I think they'll be alive in week 18. And if they're not, they're going to be alive in week 17.
So, the NFL views them similar to the Jags, to the Browns, to the Chargers, Rams.
So
what's interesting about the Bears is, so again, I looked this up earlier. Their win total is at 8.5. And then I also looked what you would have to bet and what the odds are for, will this team make the playoffs? If you want to bet yes, the Bears will make the playoffs, it's minus 104. If you want to bet no, it's minus 118. So the favorite there, just slightly is no. But, I mean, this is, again, the way that Vegas is looking at this, they look at the Bears as a borderline playoff team, as maybe that eighth team that's just on the outside. Maybe they can sneak in like the Packers did in that last wild card spot a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple games either way for them on their prediction can be difference between locked up or not close.
If you want to get into our schedule release special, the number is 800-990-3776. Steve on the text lines, going back to an earlier conversation we had, said, I mean, look at D-Bach and Tay. This is when we were talking about C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love. Look at David Bakhtiari and Devontae Adams. Now they think Love is a good quarterback after one season. And Josh and Hartland texting, can't wait to hear Gabe host the travel show on WTMJ this Saturday. Make it number 51.
Be the best damn travel show you've ever listened to.
Darn straight. So going back to that stretch after the bye, week 10 is the bye, right smack dab in the middle of the season. You play 9 games in a row, all Sundays other than week 1, that Friday game against Philadelphia. So you kind of get, I mean, you get what, 9 days between week 1 and week 2, and then it's 7 between every other game up until the bye. You open up play after the bye at Soldier Field against the Bears. You host San Francisco. You host Miami on Thanksgiving night on a short week. You go to Detroit the next Thursday night. You go to Seattle the following Sunday night. Then you return home to host New Orleans December 23rd, the day before the first appearance by Santa Claus against the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football. You go to Minnesota. You wrap up at home against Chicago. That's a heck of a second half of the season.
I am so glad that the schedule before the bye is not as stacked as after. Like, you know, especially with having the late bye. And so, again, that's a tough part of the schedule just because you're playing 9 games in a row. And then the back part is so hard because, well, that's playing a lot of really good teams.
That's where the good teams
are. Where you have San Francisco and Miami and Detroit and see it like all back to back. And then, again, dealing with some wonky back to back Thursday, you know, dealing with these standalone games of Thursday night in primetime, Thursday night in primetime, Sunday night football, Monday night football. Like, you have these standalone games where it's just kind of a weird part of the schedule.
Going to be some late nights for you on Green Bay game night.
Yeah, me and Homer, we're going to be hanging out and having a good time.
Not a lot of sleep over the course of 4 weeks.
It's wrong, you know.
Sleep when your dad gave.
Yeah, exactly. Let's lead into the holidays.
Josh,
take some time off.
Joshy, what do you typically do on December 23rd?
December 23rd?
Yeah.
You hit me as
a guy that's like getting drunk with high school buddies.
No, I don't hang out with as many high school buddies. You'd imagine if they come down here to the Milwaukee area, I'll hang out with them. But yeah, I typically like to take off because I'm bad with taking vacation days, so I usually have off like from the 23rd through the end of the year. So, yeah, I'll be drinking, boozing, hanging out. It's Christmas cheer. I'll be spreading it with a couple highlights.
I don't know what you were expecting out of the answer. That's about the answer I was expecting.
Timid Berserker 24 on YouTube. Timid Berserker.
Timmy. I didn't think that would break him.
Yeah.
Timmy. It says, liking the group vibe so far.
We have a good time.
Gabe, would you agree?
Yeah, no, hey, I love hanging out with this crew.
I was going to say, we all like each other, presumably. I like both of you.
You like the big assumption. You like bullying me.
Yeah, you bat you around like a cat does with catnip. You're a good sport about it. We have fun here.
All right, Packers.
He's the big cat.
Packers schedule is not official. I'm going to kick your ass in the brain. Packers schedule is not official quite yet. We do have a leak that we think is official. We will find out in less than 15 minutes whether or not it is accurate. We will continue to revisit it. We will continue to talk it. At some point tonight, we will play the schedule game. At some point tonight, Jason Wilde will join us. At some point tonight, I'm going to punch Josh DiMaggio in the face. All still ahead.
Bring it, Pipsqueak.
The best part about the schedule release is that the Green Bay Packers social media channels have really stepped up their game. It's ESPN Wisconsin's NFL schedule release special alongside Gabe Neitzel, Josh DiMaggio, Alex Stroph with you. They just tweeted out a 9.5-minute warning to the schedule release that featured Larry McCarron, and if you are not familiar with The Rock, his pinky on one hand is completely bent to the side. So he has essentially 9.5 functional fingers. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so when football guys were football guys with their wonky fingers.
And their leather helmets.
Uh-huh.
I here you go on your Generation Z rant.
I do think it's I was being sarcastic there. I do think it's interesting that the Packers sort of succumbed to the public pressure. David Bakhtiari.
I was about to say, it wasn't even just public pressure. Yeah, the call was coming from inside the building.
Yeah, and then there was other players who agreed with him. So I'm interested in the fact that the Packers seem to have taken a very different approach and are trying to be fun and entertaining, which has gotten some teams in trouble in the past. But you'd hope the Packers, who are historically conservative when it came to the humor, are going to play it pretty safe still.
Remember when the Chargers tweeted about P.F. Chang's? Do you guys have any idea what I'm talking about?
No.
The lore behind that is it was just
Josh knows all the internet lore.
Yeah, it was
P.F. Chang's and the Chargers.
That account was just a guy's account who started Twitter very early, and he worked in their marketing department. And when they switched it over to the Chargers account, they just kept all the old tweets on there. So you could just see old tweets of his from when he was like the first guy, one of the first people to be using Twitter.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Okay.
2011. I'm going to find my wife and head to P.F. Chang's at Chargers. Anyway. We are just minutes away from the official release of the Packers schedule, but we are a bunch of geniuses on this panel. We've got all 17 games for you ahead of time. Week one at Philadelphia and Sao Paulo. Spoiler alert. It's a Friday night.
How do you feel about that?
I was just about to ask you the same question.
I personally don't like it as somebody either. Who has been affiliated with high school football and Catholic Memorial and Marquette and all the games that we've done here with Good Karma Brands over the last handful of years. I don't like the fact that college football is starting to creep in on Friday night. I don't like the NFL is creeping in on Friday night. I wish they would just leave that alone. Do I understand why they're doing it?
Of course.
Of course I understand why. The money's there, but it just, you know, you were kind of hoping that at some point the NFL would put up a stop sign somewhere, and clearly they're not. If they see an advantage, if they see something they can do, they're absolutely
playing week one on Friday and Christmas on a Wednesday.
Yeah, and historically the not just the Packers, the NFL has respected like the sanctity of the Friday night football because it is the fostering ground for the guys who end up in the NFL. So, like, they've talked a lot about how much they don't want games on Friday, and they're going to just keep creeping into it.
You love it, don't you?
What?
Friday night, week one.
And here's the thing. I love when my team's the first one to play because you get the anxiousness out of the week, or one of the first one, obviously. There's still Thursday night games. But I hate on Sunday when I get there and go, well, there's no Packers. Even though I just watched them on Thursday, I want Sunday noon every single time.
Sunday noon?
Sunday noon. That's the best time. I wake up.
Nah, 3:25 is better.
I have to watch the early games and anticipate and think about it. Believe me, Red Zone's on 24/7. Red Zone starts, I'm on.
Well, that's not
Red Zone ends, I turn it off. But sometimes I listen to the music.
7-1.
The best Red Zone time is from noon to 3.
Correct.
Yeah, this is a good time.
And there's only like 3 games.
But I can't be paying attention to injury reports and taking bullets and having fantasy games swing while the Packers aren't even playing. Can't have it. It's too much.
I got bad news for you, Joshy.
A lot of it?
Jordan loves good. Guess what ain't happening? When we get the official schedule and we get the list of this, I'm not anticipating a lot of noon kickoffs for the Green
Bay Packers.
I would
imagine it's going to be a lot of 3:25.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And how about that stretch starting with Thanksgiving against the Miami Dolphins at 7:20 p.m. on Thanksgiving night?
Prime time.
Following week, Thursday Night Football, first game of the week.
Prime time. 14.
Following week, you got to wait all the way until Sunday Night Football, Joshy.
Prime time.
And then the following week, they are the final game of the week on Monday Night Football against the New Orleans Saints, which is what game?
Prime time.
Hey, it's good for the Packers, me personally. This is what this show's about, my life, like watching games.
The good news is, as of right now, you only have to wait all day for Sunday night once.
That's a good thing. We like that. Monday night, though, I hate when the week is over and you have to just wait. I got to show back to work and talk about the game coming. I need a game to happen.
Some oddities in the Packers' schedule. Bill on the text line pointing it out. The gold package this year,
which is
this
the schedule Milwaukee correct, package. Yeah.
Milwaukee package. Bears, Lions, Vikings.
All of the division games.
Right. Serves those people right and who Bill, try and bully the gold package who saved the Packers.
The Bill
serves
says,
them right.
The green package people are really going to be pissed off, says Bill. And Billy in Sussex chimes in with this. Just have to chime in, fellas. I just had a rot dog at the corners of Brooklyn.
Hey! say what's up to our guy.
And
Ashton.
It was delicious. Still didn't see a menu item named after the morning show, though.
No,
you guys are going to have to work on that.
I don't think it's ever going to happen.
It's never happened.
All right.
I don't think it's ever going to happen.
2 minutes away from the official schedule release. We think we have it. We'll find out if we're wrong. That's next on ESPN Wisconsin.
The opponents are locked in. The locations are set. Tonight, we find out what the NFL season calendar looks like. This is the NFL Schedule Release Special. Alongside Gabe Neitzel and Josh DiMaggio, here's Alex Stroph.
Yeah, Josh DiMaggio is still with us. Gabe Neitzel is still with us. I'm Alex Stroph. I'm still with you. And the Packers' schedule is here in its entirety. The schedule we told you the last hour was accurate. However, we have game times now, which just makes it a little bit more fun. 800-990-3776, your way into our schedule release special. Which game are you most looking forward to? You a gold package member? You get all divisional matchups this year. Oh, baby, good for you, Milwaukee. Would you call them, Joshy, the people that saved the team?
Yes. The gold package, the Milwaukee fans saved the Green Bay Packers.
And they reap the rewards of that this year. Three games in the gold package, all divisional opponents.
About time those people saw some respect.
Darn straight, Josh. Well said. All right, let's run it down. Here we go. Week one, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Green Bay Packers in Sao Paulo, Brazil. That is considered a road game for the Packers. It is a 7:15 kickoff on Friday, September 6th. We knew that one already. Here you go, Josh. Week two against the Colts at Lambeau Field. Noon kickoff.
Nooner.
Off a nooner.
Week three at the Tennessee Titans. Noon kickoff. Nobody?
Nooner.
Thank you.
I didn't know we needed to repeat it every time.
Well, Josh.
I'm sorry. I'm a little distracted watching the Packers schedule release video.
Can you wait for a commercial break?
Keep going.
Week four at home against the Minnesota Vikings. First divisional game on the schedule.
Nooner.
Nooner.
Three in a row. Three noons in a row.
You know, things are just coming up joshy tonight.
Week five at the Los Angeles Rams, not so fast. 3:25 kickoff at L.A.
I mean, it's out in L.A. That makes sense.
It's the second best time.
Okay. All right.
I thought you said Thursday night was better.
No, he hates Thursday night.
Yeah, because then Saturday, Sunday happens. What the hell? Where's the Packers?
I got nothing to do.
Week six, home against the Cardinals. Nooner.
Hell yeah.
Week seven, home against the Texans.
Nooner?
I am shocked by that one.
Me too.
I thought that would be a 3:25, Stroud, Love. I thought that Fox or, you know, CBS would jump all over that.
Week eight at the Jacksonville Jaguars, Sunday, October 27th. Joshy?
Nooner!
Another nooner.
A lot of them. I was not expecting
not
this.
Not a lot after this point, though.
Yeah.
Week 11 after the bye at the Bears is a nooner.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's too early to flex.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind. Week 12, the Packers return home to host the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday, November 24th. That is a 3:25 game.
If that was at noon, I would have had a lot of questions.
That's an NFC Championship game preview. Book it, mark it.
Wow.
Call it right now.
Wow.
That's the NFC Championship game. That's the NFC Championship game. Week 13, the Packers are home again. That's 4 days later. Thanksgiving, as we mentioned earlier, that is a 7:20 p.m. kickoff. That is the late game on Thanksgiving. Packers, Dolphins, two of the best offenses in the league, maybe, this upcoming year. But it certainly was an offense that the Packers compared themselves to last year. John Runyon Jr., the former Packer, saying, "We're like the Dolphins," who scored 70 points the week prior to him saying that. Still one of the more idiotic things said last year.
Did we discover that I was basically like they were going to use motion more like the Dolphins were at the time? Like the running start stuff. That was basically all that really ended up meaning.
Correct.
So after playing on a Thursday on Thanksgiving, Packers don't get 10 days of rest. They just get a week. They're back on Thursday the following week as they visit the Detroit Lions on Thursday.
I feel
December
like
5th.
The league's done that a lot. Either the Thursday before, or like the Cowboys will play because then they're playing the Thursday after. The Lions end up playing the Thursday after. I mean, they've done that a lot, especially with those two teams are always playing on Thanksgiving,
yep,
where, you know, they end up playing on back-to-back Thursday. So while it does seem strange the Packers are doing it because they haven't,
the Lions,
a lot of teams have done it before.
And obviously they're playing the Lions, so they will do it again this year. Week 15, then they get 10 days or 9 days, whatever the math there is. They will head to Seattle for Sunday Night Football on Sunday, December 15th. 7:20 kickoff between the Packers and the Seahawks in their penultimate road game of the regular season. What?
Jeez, penultimate.
Correctly, by the way.
Yeah. Credit to you. Pat on the back to you.
Thank you, man. Week 16, Monday Night Football at Lambeau Field under the lights, December 23rd. What a way to kick off the holiday week as the Packers will once again destroy.
A little snow in the background. Christmas coming. Yeah. Sign me up for that
one. Do you think the flyover for that game will not be private jets or military jets? It'll be a sleigh and reindeer.
I don't know if Mark Murphy has that kind of pull with the big guy from the North Pole.
I was going to say, you got Kris Kringle up there himself flying over with Rudolph leading the charge?
I mean, if there is a United States sports town that resembles the North Pole, it ain't Buffalo. It's Green Bay.
Yeah, have you been there?
Buffalo or Green Bay?
North Pole.
Any three of them.
Well, I grew up in Green Bay, so yes, check. I have not been to
two
Buffalo.
Two Christmases, remember?
Although Buffalo is on the bucket list.
Okay.
Bucket list?
Yeah, I got to eat wings in Buffalo.
Okay. All right.
You want to go with me?
No. Like Jesse Nelson when he went to Detroit in like week 16.
Buffalo's a little bit better than Detroit. At least I'm jumping through tables and eating wings where they
I'm
originated.
I'm good on Buffalo after October. Like everything prior to that.
I mean, I kind of see what you're saying, but I'm not going to Buffalo in July.
No.
The only thing to do there is go to a Bills game.
They had to cancel a game because they couldn't get out of their driveways. The players had to be rescued on snowmobiles.
Green Bay would never. Week 16, did I mention that one already? Yeah, New Orleans. That's why I asked about the flyover. Week 17 is their final away game. They go to the Vikings. That is a nooner.
Not shocking. Minnesota's going to be bad.
Yes, they are. And then TBD on the time here and the day, week 18, the Packers wrap up the regular season hosting the Bears, just like they did last year.
It's the way the league has done it, where they put a couple of games on Saturday, and then everybody else will be on Sunday.
How long have they been doing the TBD thing?
Several years at this point.
I mean, adding the Saturday portion, I think last year was kind of the first time they did that in the final week. The last handful of years, they've kind of kept everything up in the air, so then that way it's easier for them to kind of build the schedule of, okay, we're going to start with Sunday Night Football and then kind of work backwards.
Is it universal? Because, like, the Carolina Panthers, you can put them at noon, no matter what they're playing.
That's facts. That's a fact.
Yeah,
so,
correct.
Like, let's just get that one out of the way, or is everybody TBD?
Technically, out of respect for the Panthers, because stranger things have happened in the NFL, they're going to put TBD for everyone, Josh.
Fair.
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked it so we can cover it. But
Sadler and Madison text in on the text line, 800-990-3776. Nooner's Buffet, Joshy. Nooner's Buffet.
That's a Nooner's Buffet. We're going to be having Nooners coming out of our eyeballs to start the season.
Ruben on the ESPN Madison YouTube chat. You guys are making this Los Angeles traffic fly by. Go, Pack, go. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
8 noon games for you, Joshy.
Yeah.
Nooner's Buffet!
Compared to last season, I could look this up, but how many like noon games / primetime games did they play last year? Because I feel like the NFL made a pretty heavy bet on the Packers, or am I just misremembering?
No, I remember
3:25 against Chicago. Atlanta and New Orleans were both noon. And then this is where I get lost. Detroit was Thursday night. Monday was the Raiders. It doesn't say the game times. I'm just trying to remember.
Thursday and Monday, we know what those are.
My stupid noggin. And they had the early bye. I think Denver was later, wasn't it? That was a 3:25 because it was in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, right?
You know, like, just tell me if I'm stupid, Gabe.
No, you're not stupid because it's West Coast, so it had to be a later game.
Minnesota, I don't know.
That was noon.
I gave it a shot, Joshy.
All right. Last year.
It's funny that you went to your computer to not find the times of the games, which Gabe, I'm assuming, found.
The Packers played 5 primetime games a year ago, and right now they have 5 nooners they had last year. Might help with your microphone. Just instead of sitting back and yelling.
How many nooners?
Thank you for the question. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Also,
8 nooners.
Wow.
Nooners Buffet again!
It's a good day to be a Packers fan. We got nooners coming out of our eyes.
Says you guys will have a lot of early mornings at Lambeau. We sure will. We had a lot last year, though, too. That's me more so than these two.
As somebody who used to go up there quite a bit, the noon games are the best.
Oh, yeah. Because you're home at a decent hour.
There's nothing worse than sitting in the traffic on your way back to Milwaukee, and it's like 12:30. You're not even to Sheboygan yet.
But I will say, last year, December 3rd, 2023, Taylor Swift in town, Travis Kelce in town, Patrick Mahomes in town, the Packers beat the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. That was the most magical night at Lambeau Field I've ever had.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a Sunday night in Lambeau is great. As a fan,
Sunday church, man.
Going there. I love being at Lambeau as a fan for a noon game. You wake up early, especially if you're staying in the area. You start boozing right away. You go down, walk around. Nothing better.
You get one game. Which one are you going to?
At Lambeau?
Any game. Any game on the schedule. You get one game. Which one are you going to?
Thanksgiving. Miami.
Not too cold yet. I think it's going to be the best game of the season. The other one that sticks out to me at Lambeau is Houston. That's a noon game in October. So weather will be great. Week 7 against Houston or week 13 against Miami?
Yeah,
I'm two.
Houston would be my pick.
Yeah, I think
I want to see. I want to see the Texans in person.
Yeah, and that game's got a good chance for fireworks. Week 9 against Detroit.
Do you mean the fireworks they shoot off or just offensively?
Offensively. Could be a shootout, a proverbial shootout.
But if it is a shootout, that means the fireworks outside the stadium would go off quite
lots
often,
of fireworks.
Because that means the Packers would be scoring a lot.
Yeah,
double whammy.
Double firework whammy. Nooners and double firework whammies. We got everything
it's
here.
It's unbelievable we do this stuff full time. I mean, frankly, unbelievable. Thank you to our employers for letting us be here this evening. Speaking of which, you guys ready to play the schedule game? We're doing it next. Oh. Right here on ESPN Wisconsin's NFL Schedule Release Special. We're back with you in 4. The Packers' schedule is out. All 17 games, 16 game times released.
Nooners.
And we are reacting. Eight nooners from Joshy DiMaggio. He is so happy. Will you drink more than eight nooners while watching a nooner?
I typically don't drink and watch the Packers.
Really?
Because that causes stress drinking. You drink more than you want to.
Fair.
And, work. I got to work on it. Thursdays, holidays, there'll be some boozing. But standard game, not a big drinker. Don't like to even leave the house, really. I like to be in my sanctum, my sanctuary, watching.
No high lifes in your sanctum?
If you're feeling it. Not typically, though.
All right. You know, these rules aren't hard and fast, Trophy.
Yeah, no.
He's a weird guy.
Duh.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a tattoo of Homer on his leg. He's wearing shorts. He's advertising it for the world today. Like, yeah, this isn't the behavior of a normal human being.
All right, Jason Wilde's going to join us next segment. But first, we got to do it. We got to be the first people on planet Earth to play the schedule game.
All right.
Joshua, you want to lead us?
Week 1 in Sao Paulo. I've got the Packers beating the Philadelphia Eagles.
I also have the Packers winning in week 1.
They're going to lose to the Eagles.
You say that so definitive. I don't like
it. Do you think the Eagles are better than the Packers this season? Record-wise. Just record-wise.
Record-wise, I'm going to say yes. I think they're going to be in a worse division.
I would agree.
So I think they're going to have some games that are easier for them to win. And look, maybe Matt LaFleur learned his lesson from the last time they traveled internationally. I just don't have faith that he's going to be able to keep his disdain in and
poopy pants.
Yeah, not have it kind of leak out to the rest of the team.
I got too into here on this, not to go too deep on it because we got a lot to get to, but I got too invested in it's an away game, but you're not in Philly, so you got to steal this one. That's kind of my rationale.
I think it's going to be kind of a home game of sorts. Big Packers contingency in Brazil.
As much as a game in Brazil for the Packers can be, sure, yeah.
I mean, I feel like their game in London was, what, I think 60-40?
Well, Rodgers broke his thumb.
Sure, but I'm just saying from a crowd standpoint, it was probably 60-40 Packers.
That team wasn't very good.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, just making sure we're on the same page. Week 2, Joshy. Nooner.
We got a nooner. I got a win against the Indianapolis Colts. I just think the Packers are a more established team. They've got more things figured out.
I imagine this is going to be unanimous, right, Gabriel?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, they're winning.
We all get the Packers. Yeah. Week 3 at Tennessee.
I got a win.
Win.
There's no way they should.
3-0. 3-0. Week 4, nooner against the Vikings at Lambeau.
I got a win.
Win.
Yeah, I got my first loss next, though, against the Rams.
Yeah, traveling out to Los Angeles, yeah, taking the Rams, I've got
if
that.
If Matthew
as a
Stafford's
loss.
Healthy, they lose that game.
Correct.
I agree.
Yep.
Week 6, the Cardinals, nooner at Lambeau Field.
Win.
It's a win.
Layup. Easiest win of the season, biggest win of the season, statistically.
I'm not.
Blow out.
I think they're better. I think they're better than the Vikings.
I don't.
You've made that clear.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay, I'm just making sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, we're hearing what you're putting down.
I think the Cardinals will have the number one overall pick next year. Continue, Josh.
Versus the Houston Texans. Is this a nooner? Yeah.
It is a nooner, and it's at Lambeau. This is a tricky one. Gabe, go ahead.
I'm going to say they win this one. I think that this is a game where, kind of like last year with the Chiefs at home, the Packers kind of rose to the occasion. I think that this could definitely be a shootout, but I think the Packers' offense is going to be ready to go. High-scoring game, I think the Packers win.
I put this one down as a loss, basically, because I started looking at the rest of the schedule and said, well, they got to have some losses in here. They can't be
17. That's exactly how I feel, Josh.
I think this could be a close game. If it's a shootout, it's a coin flip. Historically, those just are last person who has the ball.
I believe this will be the game where we come back the next day. You guys come back, 7 a.m., Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, and you say, uh-oh, the defense. I got the Texans. Week 8, they head to Jacksonville. Nooner.
I got them losing 2 in a row here. I got them losing to Jacksonville. It's just, you're going down to Jacksonville. You've played a tough game. For some reason, Trevor Lawrence puts it together. The Packers have a disappointing loss in Jacksonville.
I think they bounce back. I've got them beating Jacksonville.
I have a win against Jacksonville.
Bye week? We've all got a win there.
You missed a game.
Sure did. Week 9.
There
we
go. Hey!
It's the Detroit Lions. That's what I'm at.
I am going to say that is a loss. A bit of a letdown after they win. Big game against Houston, and they go on the road, beat Jacksonville, come back home to Detroit. I'm going to say that's a bit of a letdown.
I think it's a loss as well at Lambeau.
I got it as a win.
30 in a row, by the way, that would be a loss at Lambeau to the Lions.
So I think we all have them at 6-3 right now.
Correct.
Wow, interesting.
I mean, different way of getting there, but we're all 6-3.
So, okay, before we get into the stretch after the bye, because we talked about it before. Yeah. And they're 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
You feeling okay at this point?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, if you're 6-3 at any point in the NFL season, I think you're feeling pretty good. You're winning 2 out of every 3, you know. You're winning 2 out of every 3. You're going to be in a good spot at the end of the season.
For a team that was 3-6 after 9 games last year,
yeah.
6-3 is pretty good. It's a good improvement. All right, let's move on to week number 11 when they head to Chicago to take on the Bears.
I've got it as a win.
Win.
Yeah.
You like the Bears, man.
He is the most preeminent Packers Bears fan.
I'm not a Bears fan.
he's the preeminent Bears Packers fan.
I'm not a Bears fan. I think everybody goes, oh,
that's what people are saying.
This might be the
heard it on the streets.
You guys are idiots. Yeah, I got the Bears 2 losses in a row.
Oh wow! So
heading into week 12
against
San Francisco. They would have lost before the bye and after the bye. And remember, traditionally after the bye, Matt LaFleur not very good. I believe that, yeah, they lost at Denver after the bye last year. I think they lose at Chicago after the bye. And I think he's only won one game, if I'm not mistaken, after the bye in his head coaching career.
I think you're correct.
So that's why I have them losing at Chicago. San Francisco, Sunday, 3:25, week 12.
Yep.
Loss.
Loss.
Win. They bounce back.
Back-to-back losses. And then they rally against the best team in the league.
Crazier things have happened. I don't think so. That team's still good. They still got enough pieces.
Remember when they beat the Super Bowl champions in Week 14 last year?
Remember when they lost to the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs?
That's all they do to the 49ers. Finally, they get their look back. I've got the Niners losing in Week 12. Week 13, short week, Thanksgiving night, Packers host the Miami Dolphins.
That's a win.
Yeah, I have a win. I don't believe in Tua and the Dolphins.
I also have a win.
Yeah,
this is like the fifth hardest game on the schedule for me. But it really wasn't that close. I've got the Packers winning that one. Week 14, they head to Detroit. Will it be a season sweep for the Detroit Lions?
I have a loss.
I think they go into Detroit like they did last year and win.
I agree with you, Gabe.
I think they split with Detroit. It's just going to be awkward where just kind of the way it falls. I think they lose at home, win at Detroit.
I have a split just the opposite way.
Sunday night, week 15 at Seattle.
This one I went back and forth on a few times just because it's kind of a weird, you're going up to Seattle. I have a win, though.
I'm going to say this is a loss.
I have a loss as well.
It's just, one of the toughest places to play, and I just feel with the schedule being as wonky as it is, that they're going to trip up in one of these, and I think that's the one that makes the most sense to me for them to lose.
You guys can see on my schedule here that I've done with each of ours, I had win. Cross it off, put loss, cross it off, and put it back as a win. So, going into this one with a lot
of
conviction. It's
going to be a tight one out there in Seattle.
He's sitting in Kyle Wallace's seat. It's only naturally flip-flops a few times. Week 16 is Monday night against the New Orleans Saints. Did I skip a game?
In Lambeau Field? No, you did not. In Lambeau Field, let's win.
I agree.
Yeah.
It would be. I would be in panic mode if they lost this one.
Week 17, they go to Minnesota, their final road game. It is a nooner on December 29th, their final game of the calendar year at Minnesota.
That's a win.
Yeah. J.J. McCarthy stinks. So does Sam Darnold.
J.J. McCarthy will be the quarterback for that one.
Okay.
Week 4, though.
It's going to be J.J. McCarthy.
Week 4, it'll be Sam Darnold. Final game of the year at Lambeau Field. TBD on when they will play, either Saturday or Sunday. Against the Chicago Bears.
I have a win. The Packers hold off the Bears for one more season and stay undefeated.
12-0 for Matt LaFleur and Elton Jenkins and company?
Yeah. I've got that as a win as well. So right now I've got 12-5.
I also have that as a win. I did not write down my predictions. Josh, you do some math for me.
Who did you have in the Jacksonville game?
I had the Packers.
You had the Packers. All righty. Here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 12-5!
You have them at 12-5?
12-5.
You 12-5 across the board.
No kidding.
I mean, again, very different ways of getting there, but yeah, we're all...
Ribbit. Toads. Bunch of toads here. 9.5 win team. We all got them at 12.
Is 12-5 good enough to win the NFC North?
I don't think so. I think you got to get to 13.
It might be tiebreaker scenario for me. Who knows?
13. Yeah, again, 12-5, yes. Then, and I think we all had them splitting against Detroit.
Yeah, we did.
So then, you know, it becomes even more complicated at that point, but... 13, I think, wins you outright. 12, you're probably looking at tiebreakers.
Play your schedule game at home. Let us know what you get. Tweet it. Text it. 800-990-3776. YouTube chat. ESPN Madison. ESPN Milwaukee. I would love to see where you have this team. We all have them at 12-5, and we all did it differently.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think
you guys made fun of me. I have the same record as you.
We're
having them lose to the Bears, finally. For the first time in Matt LaFleur's head coaching tenure.
Yeah, you're you.
What does that mean?
It's unbecoming, the way you approach things.
I mean, again, you're the...
Have you noticed he just says things to say things?
Yes.
Duh. What are we doing here?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fuck?
I have to count. This was a look at 17 W. This isn't high-level stuff here.
Yeah, no, it's just...
Your camera's over there, pal. Show the camera.
This camera's right there.
Is it my camera right there?
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it, guys.
No, I got you in a two shot, so Josh, to the right.
You hear Pebble? I can see it, guys.
A two shot. I didn't know you were getting crazy back there. Alrighty.
You're an idiot. 12-5 for the Packers. We have them, all three of us, have them over the 9.5 win total. Significantly over the 9.5 win total.
Yeah.
We have them competing pretty much until the end of the year for the NFC North title.
Yeah. I think it comes down to the end. I would have loved to see the schedule makers have Packers Lions
and
be
for
the, League 18.
By the way, that post bye week stretch, we only had them, I think, each losing two games. I think we had them going 6-2 over those final eight games.
Yeah, I only had the two losses.
Yep, agreed.
I don't know that will be the case.
It's a really tough stretch again because it's at Chicago. You know, you're at Seattle. San Francisco's tough wherever you play them. I can't imagine Minnesota sneaking up on people, but, you know, again, both Bears games are after the bye. And by the time we hit the bye, I think we're going to have a pretty good idea of who the Chicago Bears are.
Yeah, when you look at the schedule, the last four games, you can easily write the story of four wins.
Yep.
So for it to be that they're going 6-2 after the bye, it's not that shocking. There is a hiccup. There is a 5-4 potential, or what am I looking for here? But, you know, there's a potential some of these games go the opposite way, but Chicago, Minnesota, New Orleans, you feel pretty good about.
No doubt. Chris in Nashville tweets in, at GNeitzel16, at Alex_Stroff, at Josh_DiMaggio. The Badgers are at USC in Los Angeles on September 28th. The Packers are there the following week at the Rams on October 6th. A football bookend, a SoCal vacation for Wisconsin fans?
Kind of early for that SoCal vacation, though, right?
It's early.
Yeah. You're still kind of getting the weather here.
At least 8 days. If you fly in Saturday and fly out Sunday, that's 8 days in L.A. It's a long trip.
I'm pro vacation, but when it...
Oh, really, are you? Hot take there, guy.
I bet I take less than you.
I bet that's not true.
What
Mr. Mexico.
What I'm trying to say here is... When the start of the new year happens...
Senor Mexico.
Yes. Excuse me. Thank you very much. When the start of the new year hits and it's like, you know, it's dark at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
That's when you want to get somewhere nice. Shooting your bullet too early in October on your big, long, week-long vacation, I think you might end up regretting it.
Now, do I think people are going to do this?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, there are going to be some Packers and Badgers fans that do this.
People with more fungible funds than us.
Correct.
Brett and Eau Claire has them at 11-6. Joseph has them at 13-4. And on the text line, a couple of texts coming in. Jared in the 608 says, I just want to say I missed hearing Josh's laugh.
Hey, thanks, pal.
And then Daniel the Sloth chimes in.
Oh, haven't heard from him in forever.
It sounds like a 17-0 record is amongst us. Jason Wilde joins us next from Green Bay to break down all things Green and Gold schedule right here on the ESPN Wisconsin NFL Schedule Release Special. ESPN Wisconsin's NFL Schedule Release Special alongside Gabe Neitzel, Josh DiMaggio, Alex Stroh with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All Studios in the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. And if we have to make one call, you know who we're making it to break down.
David Gruber?
You just love killing momentum. That's your favorite thing to do.
You said one call.
Yeah, it's a Pavlovian response.
I said if we have one call to make to break down the Packers schedule.
Yeah.
That's all.
I bet Jason agrees with me.
We call the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. Who you hear each and every weekday from 9 to noon. Alongside the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tascher, it is our friend, our teammate, Jason Wilde. Jason, do you agree with Josh?
Great job, Josh, because if you wouldn't have said that, I was going to. So, you nailed it.
You'll learn. I mean, you've only been in Milwaukee a couple of weeks. Here's trophy.
All right, Jason, thanks for the time, buddy.
414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Lofts is one call. That's all.
And we make our one call to Jason Wilde. What's up, Jason? How are you?
Giddy. You guys sound giddy. You excited about the schedule? 17-0?
We're just having fun. Yeah. Three pals talking football on a Wednesday night, Jason.
Could be worse.
I'll tell you this. It's a fascinating schedule. I don't remember ever in my, you know, this will be season 29 for me. I don't ever remember in all these years. I remember Ron Wolf getting pissed about having three straight road games. I remember him getting pissed about the Packers not having enough home games in December. I remember, you know, the always looking at the schedule to see when, and Rodgers used to talk about this all the time, when do they play in Chicago? But I don't ever remember four straight weeks of primetime games. I don't think it's ever happened.
It's
obviously
wild.
There are more. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's more primetime opportunities than ever before. And in fact, you know, the Packers included this in their release. I had mentioned it because I kind of pre-wrote the story after getting some schedule leaks. Instead of putting them on Twitter, I was trying to get my story written so I could file it as soon as possible to the State Journal after the schedule became official. But, like, first of all, like, all these games being in a row and back-to-back Thursday nights, to me, that's fascinating. You know, remember back in 2015, I know you guys recall that they played back-to-back Thursdays. They played at home on Thanksgiving on against the Bears and lost. And then they had the Hail Mary in Detroit to win. So that was a memorable back-to-back. And then the other time that I can recall on my watch of them playing back-to-back Thursdays was in 2007 when they played the early game on Thanksgiving in Detroit, beat the Lions there, and then a week later play the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas in prime time on Thursday Night Football. And, of course, Brett Favre got hurt. Aaron Rodgers came in and kind of announced that he was the future in a very, very loud voice with his performance against the Cowboys.
Jason, few different intricacies of the schedule. You mentioned one of them, obviously, the back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Primetime games. The gold package games are all divisional rivals this year for the Milwaukee crowd. They get the Vikings game. They get the Bears game. They get the Vikings game. Have you ever seen that before? I mean, obviously, with having three games, that's relatively new with the nine home games.
but all divisional games for the Gold Packers this year. That's unique.
Yeah, it is. It, you know, again, it's week two and week five of it's game two and game five of the home schedule normally, and now obviously this year they get the third game. I do think there's a couple important things because, you know, we obviously kicked up a hornet's nest today.
Sure did.
With our discussion of the Gold package. And again, I say this as a former, I mean, it's my brother still has the tickets, but like my grandparents bought those tickets in the 1940s. And if you're like Homer, and you want to try and argue that Bob Harlan should not have brought, he always used the phrase, brought the fans with them when they pulled out of Milwaukee and had all their games in Green Bay. I think it was the right decision to play all the games in Green Bay. I think it was the right decision to keep that Milwaukee crowd as part of the fabric of the organization and to appreciate what those fans did to help save the franchise. And that is not hyperbole. They helped save the franchise by there being games in Milwaukee starting in the 40s. That said, I also think it's important to note that when people are coming off the waiting list, and Stroh, if you're a Green Bay guy, so you know this, like when people come off the waiting list now, they get the green package or the gold package. So if you've been on the waiting list since like birth and you get the phone call, which I learned today, and I didn't know this, that you also get an $8,000 bill for getting off the waiting list, you know, you could be a Green Bay resident, you could be an Ohio resident, you could be a Minnesota resident, and you could end up with the green or gold package. So those gold packages are no longer just, oh, those are the people that were in Milwaukee at County Stadium. I mean, you know, they moved out in 94. I mean, the last game at County Stadium is Favre, when he had been expressly told not to run by Mike Holmgren, runs in for the game-winning touchdown against his old team, the Atlanta Falcons, out in the outfield by the bullpen for the game-winning touchdown. So, you know, look, I think that those fans are important. I don't, for me anyway, but I'm sitting in my, as Tausch likes to call it, ivory tower. So I don't have a sense really for the fans, but I don't think there's a vast difference between green package fans and gold package fans. I think both groups being on offense. So I think it's really interesting that they got those three games. Usually they get one division game and one out of division game. I don't remember with all the noon starts, which, you know, I'm excited about because I love that omelet bar in the
Nooners.
Press box. I don't know how many of those gold package games. One obviously is not decided at all yet, the Chicago game in the finale, but are the other two noon starts for gold package fans?
No, the Minnesota game is a nooner, and then Detroit is a 3:25.
And obviously Chicago is TBD in week 18.
Right, and last year, you know, we got a fair amount of texts and calls this morning on this. Like, everybody was pissed because, you know, so many Milwaukee fans, air quotes, sold their tickets to that Lions game last year. Well, it was a Thursday night. Like, I'm sorry, I'm no spring chicken anymore. If I was living in Milwaukee and I was going to those games as a fan, like driving back and being stuck in traffic on 43 coming back, I'm not surprised. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why Bob Harlan was always so adamant and did everything he could to make sure that the NFL did not make game two or game five on their home slate a nighttime game.
The Packers play one division opponent in the first eight games of the season. Do you think with the Jeff Hafley's new defense, do you find that uniquely beneficial or kind of a non-factor for the Packers heading into the season?
That's a good question. I just find it quirky.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of like last year, you know, what I found to be weird. Now, they end the season the same exact way they did last year.
Yep.
At Minnesota, home against the Bears. But I thought it was so weird they played the Bears in the opener and in the finale. Like, that, I know that it's not completely unheard of, but that, you know, what could happen in the intervening 15 weeks? You could be playing a completely different team. And quite frankly, while the Packers, you know, crushed them in the opener, like, the Packers were a different team than they were in the first half of the season by the time the Bears saw them again. The Bears were, you know, more or less the same team. So, I do think it's interesting that they don't have that many division games. At the same time, like, I'm not sure that having only one division game in the first eight, it does do this. If it's going to come down to tiebreakers, if it's going to come down to head-to-head stuff for the season, and most of their division games are then in the second half of the season and after the bye.
Yeah, after the bye is, I mean, you mentioned the crazy stretch of all those primetime games, but that's when a lot of the big time and marquee opponents happen as well, Jason. Chicago both times, at Detroit, San Francisco, Miami. It's not an easy back part of the schedule as they try to get ready for, you know, what we are hoping and, as you know, assuming a playoff run.
Yeah, I can say iron sharpens iron, and you got to play those teams in the playoffs, so you might as well play them in the regular season and challenge yourself and all that kind of stuff. But I'd rather play teams that aren't very good. I guess I'd rather play good teams later in the year when I would hope that my team has gotten itself straightened out. What I think is interesting is, unless I counted wrong, only 7 out of the 17 games are against teams that made the playoffs last year. Right? Mm-hmm. 2 against the Lions, and then obviously 5 others. Like, you know, on paper, which is not where the games are played, this isn't like some overwhelmingly daunting schedule, right? Like, you've got and the 49ers, who are the best team that you face, you've got at home, and the Eagles, who have been to the playoffs the last 3 years, and you're going to be jockeying for playoff position, you get them in a neutral site, you know, in Brazil. So,
Jason, like, I mean, San Francisco, Miami, Detroit, all playoff teams from a year ago, back to back to back. And then you cap that off with, I know Seattle wasn't a playoff team a year ago, they were 2 seasons ago, and you have to go to Seattle. That, to me, is without a doubt the toughest stretch of schedule they have from late November into early December.
Yeah, you're right. And look, in fairness, you know, what, 3 AFC teams didn't make the playoffs despite having a above 500 record, mm-hmm. right? And the Colts are one of them,
mm-hmm.
Who they have in week 2. And they're going to have Anthony Richardson back, which, you know, certainly their hope would be that getting their prized draft pick quarterback healthy after, what do you have, surgery after like 4 games last year? Like,
yeah, 4 or 5.
You know, they're going to think they're a different team. And so, you know, the problem, and I've always said this, so it's a little bit hypocritical of me to have made that 7 games against playoff teams statement, but like, the league does change from year to year, right? Like, you know, I always look back on 19, and I don't brag about many predictions because most of mine are wrong. But I did predict that the Packers would go to the playoffs in Matt LaFleur's first year, which was something that none of their Super Bowl winning coaches, not Lombardi, not Holmgren, not McCarthy, had done in their first year as the Packers coach. At the same time, I didn't have the guts to say they're going to be playing in the NFC Championship game with a chance to go to the Super Bowl in Matt LaFleur's first year. So, but they were a team that had gone, what were they, 6-9-1 in McCarthy / Philbin's year in 18?
Yep, correct.
And they ended up being a 13-3 team. So there are things change rapidly year to year with certain teams. Teams that didn't make the playoffs the previous year, the Packers being one of them from 22 to 23, end up being better the next year. So it'll be. I'm really eager to see where the biggest challenges of this schedule end up being beyond that stretch, because I think we can all agree with Gabe that is, as the schedule comes out, the biggest challenging stretch. Whereas last year, it's probably worth pointing out that when the schedule came out, we didn't see them having the 4-game losing streak swoon in October when they lost to teams that I don't think you would have said, oh, they're going to lose all these games.
Totally.
When the schedule came out.
Totally. Jason, before we let you go, I just want to go back to what Joshy mentioned about the Packers' schedule. It's much worse for the Bears. Their first divisional game is against the Packers in Week 11. Week 11, Week 12, Week 13, Week 15, Week 16, Week 18, all of the divisional games for the Bears. First divisional game is in Week 11. And the other 2 games in between that stretch, San Francisco, Seattle. That's a tough back half of the schedule. for the Bears. Now, the Vikings are going to be worse than that.
Now, in fairness to them, though, your hope would be, because obviously I love the fact that they announced that Caleb Williams is going to be their starting quarterback.
We did talk about that earlier. Ridiculous.
Yeah. But on the bright side for them, at least, right, they're theoretically, he has gotten experience against lesser/non-divisional teams, and your hope is that by the time he gets into that back half of the schedule, he's no longer playing like a rookie either. So we'll have to wait and see.
We will have to wait and see. We'll listen to you beginning at 9 a.m. tomorrow on ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, thanks so much for the time as always, buddy.
All right, fellas. Take care. Be good.
That's your one call to Jason Wilde. There you have it. We'll wrap it up. Coming up next, it's ESPN Wisconsin's NFL schedule release special. Wrapping up the NFL schedule release special here on ESPN Wisconsin alongside Gabe Neitzel and Josh DiMaggio. I'm Alex Stroh. With you. All right, I'm trying
to. That's
so
funny.
Collect yourself.
Got a frog in my
breathe.
Throat.
Okay.
Well, also, I was looking
you
at
sure
the
Packers. You sure it's not a toad?
Ribbit.
That was good. That was good. That was a good game. No, I'm looking at this Packers schedule. I tried to give it a second chance. They released a 4-minute video.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
It's really bad.
I feel like they put in more effort this year. I appreciate the effort that was put in. I don't get the concept.
I don't either.
All these people are
trying. Is it American Idol? Like, is that what they're going for?
I think so, that all these people are trying out to be members of the pep rally. Again, they got some. Again, I mean, we knew that Barstool Big Cat was going to be in this video. You know, they get Lil Wayne.
How about our guy Rob Domofsky?
Yeah, Demo's in there. Feeling miserably at kicking field goals. They get Aaron Andrews. They got some big names. Braun Strowman, former WWE champion, who's a huge Packers fan as well.
Lives in Wisconsin. Ran into him at a Shinedown concert last year. Not even a joke.
Yeah, he's got a place up in Dodge County.
I refuse to comment.
On Shinedown or WWE?
Shinedown.
What's wrong with Shinedown, Josh?
He's refusing comment. I don't know about refusing what he's refusing comment part you don't understand.
How else do you want me to say?
But so they got a lot of people to agree to be in this video. It just doesn't hit.
It was all star power, no substance.
Yeah.
Well said.
They put a lot into it. I applaud their effort. I, however, didn't find it all that amusing.
Well, one of my favorite team videos that was done last year, and it looks like I haven't watched it back, but it looks like they just ran it back again. The Titans just going out onto Broadway in Nashville.
They did the same thing?
Yeah, it looks like they did the same thing, which is a little disappointing because it was funny last year, probably less
funny this
year.
The Chargers are always out there,
where
too.
Where they show just a random person a logo, and the person has to identify the team name, and, you know, hilarity ensues.
The Chargers did The Sims this year. A video of The Sims. I haven't watched it, but people...
I know they did like an anime episode last year.
Yes, like a full-fledged one.
Yeah, there was
a lot of effort that went into their video.
Well, you guys spend the rest of the night looking at all those scheduled release videos, because I do find them entertaining. I go through a ton of them every year.
I won't.
If one pops across my timeline...
Yeah, I'll probably end up watching the Chargers and the ones that people are
correct. The ones that people are talking about will just repopulate them on my timeline. Like, I'm not going to go through all 32. People are already doing that for me. I don't have to worry about that.
Excuse me, Mr. Big Time over there.
Well, I'm just saying.
Doesn't have time to watch schedule release videos.
I'm just saying, people on my timeline.
I will be up until 1 a.m. and I will watch all 32 and I will report
back. That's insane.
I will come back tomorrow. 2 p.m.
With a power ranking,
Kyle Bruston-Ortman
of all 32.
You got it. And I guarantee to you, the Packers will be 28 or lower. It was pretty darn bad.
I want on Mr. Irrelevant, you have to run through all 32 and how you rank them. If you're going to commit to this, I want to see it play out.
I have until Friday then?
Yeah, you have until Friday, till the next Mr. Irrelevant. You got to rank all 32 best.
With a letter grade or a star rating? How are you doing it?
No, 32 up to 1.
Yeah, 32.
You can give out individual grades for each one.
Well, Joshy DiMaggio will make the rare double appearance on Mr. Relevant. Gabe Neitzel will join me as well on Friday's edition, 12:30 ESPN Madison, ESPN
can
Milwaukee
you do that
YouTube
game?
Channel.
I don't know. It looks like I am.
We will be breaking down the NFL schedule release videos together. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight on ESPN Wisconsin, breaking down the Packers schedule. I recommend going to watch the schedule release video, although I don't think it's very good, but you are allowed to draw your own conclusions. Packers schedule, it's fun. And we have them all, or all three of us have them, at 12 and 5. You've got NBA basketball coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin. Game number 5 of a tied series between the Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. That game at Chesapeake Bay Arena in Loud City. For Gabe Neitzel, Josh DiMaggio, Chris Larson, Colin Russo, I'm Alex Strove.